Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. It's about 5:30 in the morning right now, and the morning did not start off like I fucking planned. What I planned to do was go for my normal, usual 3-mile walk. But I had the issue of that I didn't have any clean clothes. Well, clean clothes to work out in, that is. I mean, I could go walking in, like, some fucking, like, a fringe jacket, but that would be hot as fuck. Yesterday, I made the grave mistake of telling my daughter that the repairs to our house were nearly done, and I think we only had one more repair to do to the outdoor pergola that was broken in a few places. Well, I spoke too soon, because last night, when I went to go do a load of laundry, and I had a lot of laundry to do because I've been working out at Pilates, I've been walking in the morning, and it's really, really, really hot in Miami, so you sweat constantly, meaning you need to change and wash your clothes all the time. I saw something on Instagram yesterday where people were saying that it is weird to shower every day, and the person who was speaking about on it was specifically living in Miami, or specifically lives in Miami. And I was just thinking to myself that she must not go outside at all. Because once you step outside, it's immediate sweat. Immediate sweat everywhere. And if you have big titties, it's even worse. So check on your big titty friends in this heat, because we're not doing well. So I went to go wash my clothes last night, and there were some towels in the washer machine that I needed to put in the dryer. Put those bitches in the dryer, put my clothes in the washer machine, dropped a little Tide Pod down in there, started that bitch up. Well, when I go back to check for something else, and the towels that I had put in the dryer the dryer wasn't on. And I opened the door and the towels were still wet, and I was like, "Uh-oh." Me and Madison watched Rain Man this past week, and every single time something happened, he was like, "Uh-oh." So we've been doing that now. Anytime something bad happens, we'll just go, "Uh-oh." Anyways, so the towels were wet, and I was like, "Fuck." And you know, it's one of those dryers that has a sensor on it, and in my experience, those sensors do not work at all. They never adequately sense the amount of dampness in the clothes, and I always have to use the timed dry setting. And it usually never leads me astray. So I tried to dry the clothes again. This time I made sure that I was on the manual dry setting so that the sensor wouldn't even be in play. So I set it for an hour. Go sit back down to watch Real Housewives of Dubai. And I set my timer for 15 minutes. Timer goes off. I go check to see if the clothes, what's going on with the clothes. And the dryer is not on. And the towels are still wet. And I was like, uh-oh. So I didn't freak out. And I like, you know, right when I realized that there was a need that I had to call, or I had to email the landlord again for another fucking issue, I didn't freak out, even though there was like a little part of me that was really, really angry. So I email the landlord, tell him the issue, ask him if we can get someone out there. Well, that did not do anything for my clothes that I had just washed in the washer machine. So I had to take those bitches out of the washer machine and scatter them about the house on whatever furniture or any surface or any hook or any, like, you know, anywhere that I could place my wet clothes to dry. And when I woke up this morning to go for my walk, all the clothes were still wet. I mean, they're not like totally soaking wet, but they're definitely not dry. I have this other issue going on where I don't know what happened, but like the back of my knees and like the back of my legs and the back of my calves itch really bad. And the only conclusion that I have come to is that I am wearing leggings a lot and I'm sweating in those leggings and still wearing them. And I'm wondering if that is causing my legs to itch. It's just on the back of my legs. No idea. Maybe I need new leggings. Maybe these are, I don't know. Do leggings have expiration dates? I mean, we know they do because they definitely lose their elasticity. But I just don't know. And I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm complaining, because I am. I'm sick of having issues with major functions of a house when my lease started a month ago. I'm a little annoyed, and it's cutting into my fucking life. I tried to go for a walk this morning, and when I woke up, my legs were itching again. Don't know what the fuck is going on. So I was like, okay, I'll be brave and wear shorts. That was a big mistake. Because right whenever I started walking, the shorts I was wearing are like, I don't want to say trash bag material because that's not right, but they're like repellent almost. And so they're not, moisture wicking. And so when you start sweating, it's like you can feel the sweat and on your skin with the shorts. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I also was giving myself a little home pedicure the other day, and I cut a nail way too short, and my toe is throbbing. So I'm walking down the street, 5 a.m, shorts sticking to my ass, my thighs are rubbing together, a fucking toe is throbbing, and I'm like, Lord, help me not freak the fuck out in public on these streets at 5 a.m. I will have the cops called on me, and I do not need those kind of problems right now. Did you hear the issue with the dryer? There was one last annoying thing that made me turn around from my walk and come on back to the house, and I decided to podcast, and that thing was spider webs. The area that I live in is very densely populated with trees, and that in turn means a shit ton of spiders, and a shit ton of spiders means a shit ton of spider webs. You cannot go outside of your house in the morning without running into a spider web, and it's usually on your face, and you freak out. It's every day. It's every single fucking day. Even if you accidentally run into a spider web, destroy the spider web, and you're like, oh my God, I have killed the spider's home. Don't you worry, because the very next morning, that home will be back up. The rebound rate for spiders is outstanding. So I'm walking along. I'm actually walking in the middle of the street so that I don't get close to a bush or to a tree or something that could even contain a spider web, because I know I'm literally walking on the edge of freaking the fuck out. So I'm walking, and then I see a car coming, and I'm like, fuck, I can't be in the middle of the street. The car's coming. And so I get close on the sidewalk, and I am walking, my toes throbbing, my legs are rubbing together, my ass is sticking to these shorts. And at the perfect time, I walk straight into a fucking spider web. And I decide right then and there, that is it. The Lord is telling me to turn the fuck around and go home. And the only thing I can think of doing right now is rage podcasting and getting this off my chest and fucking talking it out at 5:30 in the morning with my lovely, lovely listeners. I'm sorry if it feels like I'm complaining. This shit's happening, and I just got to talk about it, and it's so fucking frustrating. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. I do need to get my shit together, though, because Madison and I have planned to go school shopping today, and I will need my wits about me to do that. I love the girl. I love Madison so much, but she is not very easy to shop for clothes with, and I seriously have to practice a lot of patience. Fuck, I'm going to need a Xanax. I don't even know if I can do this today. I'm like in such a state right now. I have so much like rage inside of me for all of the things that are going on right now. Like I'm going to have to buy, I don't even have any more clean dry socks. I'm going to have to go buy some socks. All of these things are very small problems, and I realize that, you know, there are other people who are suffering in the world, Lindsay, but I'm suffering right now. I can't walk outside. Walking is usually the thing that helps me, like, get my shit together. And I couldn't do it this morning because of all of the external circumstances that I was just describing. And, you know, I have learned about myself that I am a highly sensitive person. Things bother me deeply and intensely. And it is very easy for me to lose my shit. It really, 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 really fucking is. So not only will I be complaining on this episode, I'm also going to be doing a deep dive into Real Housewives of New Jersey. I received a special request from Ella B in Chicago to do a New Jersey episode. So I am dedicating this episode to Miss Ella B, and I hope that she has a lovely first day of school, whenever that may be. It's got to be coming up. And I hope she enjoys this episode. Before we get into Real Housewives, I'm just going to give you a little update. You know, this podcast is called The Rich Room. And it has been my quest to find true life enrichment and to also find a path to financial freedom. Well, I'm still not rich financially. You know, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. I told y'all I started a business called LP Rich. Our first product is dropping in a few months. And I'm kind of excited slash nervous slash I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I'm going to figure it out. I know I can figure it out. And yeah, that's the path I'm going to keep going on. It is really fucking hard to stay motivated. Or not to stay motivated. It's really fucking hard to stay, I don't know, to like trust your vision, to keep fucking going, to not let self-doubt creep in and insecurity creep in. Oh my God, I can almost, I don't know what's going on. I can hear a clock ticking. I'm sitting in my closet podcasting again, and I can hear a clock ticking, and it might just be the thing to send me over the edge and have me hulk out in this fucking closet. I mean, I feel like Captain Hook in Peter Pan right now, where there's a fucking clock going off and I'm going to destroy everything in fucking sight. So yeah, I'm still not rich, but I'm working on it. And oh my gosh, it's like giving me anxiety right now to even talk about this. Ugh. Fuck. Y'all, I hate anxiety. I hate it. I hate it so much. And you can't control it. I'm gonna have to find this fucking clock because I think it's going to send me over the edge. Okay, hold please. Okay, I found the clock. It was my watch. It was my Amazon watch. Which no one would really know it's from Amazon, but it's my Amazon watch. That's probably why the ticking was so fucking loud. I put it under a pillow. Oh, I don't think I can podcast. My fucking back hurts. It's hot. Okay, I am back and I found the watch, but I lost my shit. The watch ticking really made me feel like Captain Hook. And it's like, tick-tock, tick-tock, who's afraid of the big back clock? It's me. And, you know, now I kind of understand Captain Hook a little bit. He had anxiety. That's what he had, anxiety. And all those damn clocks were causing him to be overstimulated and to go insane. And try and kidnap kids. Okay, that's going a little far. But yeah, I just went into a full-blown anxiety attack and started crying my damn eyes out, and that's okay, you know? I mean, yesterday my therapist asked me if I knew the line or the breaking point of where burnout starts, and I was very candid with her, and I was like, you know what? No, I really don't know the line of burnout. So I'm like someone who gets really excited, and then I push, and then it's like the wheels are already in motion and the train has already left the station, and it almost feels like once it's maybe too late, that's whenever I get into a, you know, burnout situation. But I'm going to listen to myself, I'm going to listen to my body, I'm going to honor my emotions and take a fucking break. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to take a break because I've been going nonstop, and that dryer breaking really just sent me over the edge. I mean, so much has really been going on. Madison got into an automobile accident. She's fine. Everything is fine, but it was a little scary to go through because, okay, so we were moving from our old house to our new house, and the new house is like only a mile away from the old house, and we didn't hire movers, we just moved ourselves because we were moving from a furnished place to an unfurnished place, so really all we had was just our boxes and shit. So she has her car, I have my car, and we're, you know, packing the cars full and then moving them from the old house to the new house. Not that big of a deal, right? Right. So we had just dropped the boxes off at the other house and we're driving back to the old house, and we're going through this one area of Coral Gables where there is like kind of a little bit of a roundabout, and there's a yield sign for the cars that are trying to enter the lanes. Well, Madison's driving in front of me. I'm following directly behind her. And so I see the whole thing happen. We have control of the lane. And there is another lane that could be entering into this lane, but they have a yield sign. Well, this person blew through the yield sign and sideswiped Madison. I watched the whole thing go down. And I was watching it and I'm like, oh my gosh, is that person going to stop? Oh my God, I don't know if they're going to stop. Oh shit, they're not going to stop. Oh my God, they're going to hit Madison. Oh my God, they just hit Madison. And I was like, holy shit. And I was like, fuck. So Madison starts to pull over, which is the right thing to do. And then this car that just hit her, it was a black Infiniti SUV, takes the fuck off. Keeps on driving. Doesn't even act like it. He knew it was a man, that he knew that he hit her. So I don't know if this was the best decision or not, but it was where my instinct went, and I fucking followed that dude because hell no, you're not hitting her and running and getting the fuck away with it. So I follow him, and I mean, it's in a like area of Miami that is like more sleepy's not the right word, but it's just not like, it's not Miami Beach. It's not the interstate. Like, it's just a like more low key area. So I follow him directly behind him. I'm taking pictures of his license plate. I'm honking, I'm screaming. And then I realize that he can't see me because my windows are pretty tinted. So I roll down my window. We approach the next light. We're at a red light. I'm directly behind him honking, and I roll down my window because I realize no one can see me. And so my hands, I'm like, pull over, and just honking, beep, 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 causing a bit of a scene in downtown Coral Gables. Okay, that's kind of drawing a lot of attention to myself, but I didn't fucking care. We make the turn. He pulls over. I pull over behind him. He gets out of the car and comes to talk to me. I'm like, I go the fuck off. I'm like, you just hit her. That's my daughter. Why are you running? I need your license plate. I mean, I need your license right now. I need your registration right now. And he gave it to me. I definitely scared him a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to the back to the scene, calling the police. I suggest you go back to the scene so you can give your statement. He complies and goes back to the scene of the accident. And whenever I see that Madison is fine and that, you know, it really was not that bad of an accident. She's fine. The car obviously is damaged, but it's not that bad. My heat and my anger kind of subside a little bit, and then I can see the other guy, and he's kind of frightened, and I'm like, okay, all right. So I go up to him, and I'm like, I'm sorry I yelled at you. And he was like, that's okay. It was my fault. And I was like, okay, some accountability. Now we can heal. I was really impressed because the police showed up within 10 minutes of me calling them. That was really encouraging because I'd never had to utilize the police over here. And Coral Gables has its own little police force. I mean, I'm sure it's not little. It's quite nice size. But the police come and says that the other driver was given a ticket. Madison was free to go. It's all good in that sense, but as everyone who's ever been in an automobile accident after that, then you gotta call insurance, then you gotta make a claim, then you gotta give a statement, then you gotta give, you know, bring your car to the shop, then you gotta get a rental car. And there was a little confusion because, okay, so the policy's in my name, Madison's an insured under the policy, a named insured under the policy. But they made the rental car reservation in my name. And so when we go to the reservation place, they're like, oh, no, she can't drive. The reservation has to be in her name if she's going to drive the car. Otherwise, you can get the car and she can drive your car. I'm like, that's not happening. No, that's not happening. She can get a rental car. So then we had to call USAA, get the reservation put in Madison's name. We left, went back. We decided not to get a rental car. Then we realized that her car wasn't going to be repaired before her school started. And I just cannot be chauffeur mommy. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we're living together, so it's really figuring out that delicate balance of, like, not over-parenting in the situation because she's trying, you know, she needs to become an adult herself. But it's difficult. So we ended up going back, getting a rental car. I think it's a Toyota Corolla. But It's beautiful. You know what? We just need point A to point B. We just need transfer motherfucking tation. Madison will be having her first day of school on August 19th. And it's also a full moon for anyone who does not know. And I saw that it is also a rare blue moon. So the moon is going to be very, very, very big in the sky. You know, I love that shit. So yeah, moving, the accident, everything that ensues from there, and then that dryer breaking really did me in. And I think my little breakdown, my anxiety attack, I think it is a signal to me that I'm approaching the line of burnout. I'm approaching the line of it being too much to handle. So I'm going to listen and take a little break, and I'll come back even stronger tomorrow. But in the meantime, let's podcast. Okay, so before I talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey, I want to talk a little bit about Real Housewives of Dubai. Social media is saying that Real Housewives of Dubai is not getting, like, good ratings this season, but I don't understand why, because there is legitimate drama going on, like, every single episode. The Talleen and Brooks thing, when they were at Caroline Stanberry's house and they are fighting, and her Talleen's husband Rafi gets involved, and one of the most iconic moments of this season so far, like, they get into a huge fucking fight, and then, like, to the point where they're screaming in the streets, and that is not allowed in Dubai. So Talene is smoking a cigarette and like out by the car. It kind of looks like a van, maybe like a Sprinter van, which is also on brand for Real Housewives. But she's smoking a cigarette and she's like talking to Caroline Brooks. She's like, bitch, you wore my wardrobe last season. That was iconic. That made me like Talene so much more. I think Talene is having a great first season. And, okay, I like Caroline Brooks just fine, but, like, I like her as a Real Housewife, but, like, as a friend, it wouldn't be fun to be friends with her. She doesn't seem like a good friend, and she seems like she is, like, talking shit nonstop. Okay, so the ladies go to Dubai. Okay, so the ladies go to Bali for their Eat, Pray, Party trip, which is a play on Eat, Pray, Love, which was a book that I read years ago. God, I guess I was in college. I'm not really sure. Maybe after college. But y'all know when that movie came out, Eat, Pray, Love with Julia Roberts. I don't know why, but I think that I thought that I was like, I'm not going to see the movie. I'm going to read the book because for some reason, maybe I'm more authentic because I'm reading the book. What a fucking idiot. So I got the book and I read the eat part. It was divided into three parts: eat, pray, and love. I read the eat part. I read the pray part. And I was like, meh, I don't really care about the love part. Because I honestly think at that time I was like, I'm never going to have a partner. I'm not going to meet anyone. No one wants me. So I ain't even going to read this part of the book. And I didn't see the movie. And I have no fucking idea why. But the other day, I don't know what I was doing. But I was like, you know what? I want to watch Eat, Pray, Love. And I think it was because I showed Madison Notting Hill with Julia Roberts. And so I started thinking about all of the movies that Julia Roberts stars in. We saw Pretty Woman. We actually watched Stepmom last night. We cried our fucking eyes out. And at the end, Madison was like, you got your results from your body scan, right? Talking about the pre-nuvo scan that I got earlier this year. And I was like, yep, got the pre-nuvo scan results and everything came out fine. And she was like, okay. I mean, spoiler alert, the mom and stepmom, played by Susan Sarandon, gets cancer. That movie came out in 1998. That's a long ass time ago. But it doesn't really feel like that long ago. Like, I remember that movie coming out. It's a great movie. So I watched Eat, Pray, Love. Did I watch the edited version on TV? No, I think I watched it on Netflix or something. Okay, watched Eat, Pray, Love. And when I was watching it, I even felt almost compelled to turn it off after the pray part. And it's not like they divide it the same way like they do in the book, but you can tell, like, her journey. She goes from Italy, then she goes to India, and then she goes to Bali. And I feel like I kind of want to make the same, like, pilgrimage. This heroine's journey that Julia Roberts' character, I forgot her name, Liz something, went on. I totally fucking forgot that that movie or that story was about a woman getting divorced. So whenever she was going through, like, the divorce part or deciding why she was so happy or trying to figure out why she was so unhappy, it really hit home for me. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm, like, seeing myself in this. Oh, my God. How did I put this movie off for so long? It was great. There was one part that stuck out to me, and it was in the love part. Let me just say, I mean, fucking spoiler alert, but in the movie or in the story, Julia Roberts' character meets a man in Bali and falls in love. I think he was from Brazil or maybe Argentina. I'm not entirely sure. The male role was played by Javier Bardem, who is famously married to Penelope Cruz. He's fine as fuck. And I would just, you know, I'd be totally fine meeting my own Javier. Like, totally fucking fine. Should I go to Bali to do it, though? I don't know. I'm open to the love part now. Like, I wasn't open to the love part back then, but I am open to the love part now. maybe I just need to go to Bali. I kind of want to do Italy, India, Bali. Do you how many other bitches out there do you think do that exact same thing? Just like Eat, Pray, Love. Just like Julia. Okay, so this is not really like a love story, but I might be in love with the man who has reupholstered the headboard that my cat fucked up, or I guess I fucked up at the other house. So at my old house, I think I told y'all this, I put protective barriers on the headboard so that the cat wouldn't fuck it up. And then when I went to take it off because I'm moving, it like peeled the top layer off, so thereby fucking it up. And it's noticeable, and so I needed to get it fixed. And I never reupholstered anything in my life, and I now feel like a damn expert in it. And that is mainly due to the man who did the work, and his name is Franz. So Franz came over and gave me, you know, a little quote for the reupholster of the headboard. And when he walked in, I was like, hi, Franz. And Madison was with me. He was so good looking. I mean, he was an older gentleman. I would say he was maybe in his late 50s, early 60s. But fine. Like, fine. And I'm like, oh my God, this man is so attractive. And he also took care of himself. Like, you could tell that he worked out. His biceps were popping through his shirt. And, you know, I might have developed a little bit of a crush. So, Franz, do you want to go to Bali? And, you know, he just struck up conversation with me and led the conversation and was talking to me about his son and how his son does MMA. And we were talking about wine, and then we talked about weed. And I mean, he's married, so it's not like anything was gonna like happen, but like, he was cute and honestly gave me a lot of hope in what's possibly fucking out there. And, you know, things happen. So, you know, Franz, if you ever find yourself in a single position, holla at your girl, because I could talk about reupholstery with you all damn day. Okay, back to the Real Housewives of Dubai. Y'all, I had to unfollow Caroline Stanberry on Instagram. I love her, but I cannot watch another video of her and Sergio acting like they've been caught in something, and they're like, oh my gosh, here we are, we've been caught, and now we're getting on a private plane. Or, oh my gosh, here we are, let's run into each other and laugh. And it just seems very staged. And I mean, I guess it is pretty staged, but I'm no shade to her. I get your money, girl, but I can't watch it anymore. I couldn't watch it anymore. So I had to unfollow her, and I feel bad, but because she's fabulous, but I just couldn't watch it anymore. And I was pro Caroline and Sergio. I mean, I still kind of am, but it just seems like it's not working out as well. And it seems like he really wants a baby. Her kids don't want her to have another baby. And I don't know. It's, you know, we'll just see how this shit plays out. No, literally no one else on the cast even believes that the baby is going to happen. I mean, I know they did the in vitro stuff. They have a boy on ice. Caroline went to the palm reader who said she was going to have a boy. I mean, she technically does have a boy on ice. So the palm reader wasn't wrong. I don't know. If your children are expressing so strongly that they don't want you to have a baby, I think you kind of got to listen to them. And Caroline Stanberry doesn't want a baby. She doesn't want a baby. She said this would solely be for Sergio. And if Sergio wants a baby, he should have a damn baby. But I don't know about in this circumstance. I just don't know. I do think it was kind of fucked up of Ayan to share the voice note with Stanberry and Talin from Lisa. But I can see that being like a producer moment. The producers being like, hey, you should share this. You'll get more camera time. You'll get more whatever. And I can just see Ayan possibly doing that. But if you know what? I don't know if Lisa is friends with Ayan anymore, because if you look at Lisa's Instagram, it's like she doesn't even post with Ayan anymore, and Ayan posts with Stanberry now. So who fucking knows. Okay, so going into the season finale of Real Housewives of New Jersey, we knew that the production of this show is going to take a year or two off, and they are not going to film. And there is going to be a shakeup happening on the cast. Still no word on what that shakeup entails. But I'm imagining they're going to have to get rid of... I feel like they should get rid of everybody and just start fucking fresh. It's kind of sad, though, because the exact same storyline has been playing out for, I want to say, at least 10 years. With, you know, Teresa fighting with her family and Melissa and Joe. And they can't seem to get it fucking together. And it's just kind of sad. And back then, it was because of, or not because of, but Joe Giudice was a huge issue in the family dynamic. And now, Louie is a huge issue in the family dynamic. So it seems like Teresa keeps choosing men that cause these huge rifts in her family. And I feel bad because I think Teresa just wants to be loved, but she keeps picking wrong. And, you know, this is a cautionary tale to everybody. Go to fucking therapy so that you stop making the same bad choices. I don't really like Margaret Josephs all that much. I mean, I used to like her a lot more. A lot more before she got thin and before she got her facial plastic surgery. Also before she got the chompers. Everyone on Jersey, not everyone, a lot of people on Jersey seemed to get these oversized veneers at the same time. And I don't think it's that great of a look, but go off with your chompers. I can't stop staring at them, particularly Louise and Margaret. Like, they don't have much in common, but they have those chiclet chompers in common. Bravo also did something different this year where they had all of these advertisements with the Real Housewives in them. And I think Margaret was one for, like, hair care, which I love you, Margaret, but you are not the epitome of hair care right now. I mean, the bleach blonde, it's, it don't look healthy. I don't know. It just seemed so thirsty and cringy and weird to be doing those advertisements in like a Real Housewives setting. I didn't like it. Danielle did it too. I think Melissa and Joe did it as well. I didn't like it when any of them did it, but Margaret, I think, was first. And so, unfortunately, she gets the harshest critique. Even though I don't care for Margaret Josephs as much as I once did, I do respect her. I mean, knowing that all of the ladies went to most of the ladies went to Teresa's house to go have her attorney tell them the supposed evidence that they have against Margaret in relation to her speaking to Louie's ex. Like, first of all, that was insane. We didn't find out shit. The attorney was like, there's a person who's causing harm to Louie. And there was a day that happened when the person caused harm to Louie. And Margaret knows this person. I'm like, that is not fucking evidence. That is not receipts. What are you talking about? Did they cut out the actual part where they gave any indication that Margaret was involved? I don't understand. But Teresa is fucking convinced that Margaret was involved with whatever was going on. Here's the crazy thing. Louie's ex has a restraining order against him or whatever the issue was from his ex. And so instead of focusing on the fact that Louie has all of these like alleged abusive behaviors, we're focusing on the fact, or Teresa's focusing on the fact, that somehow it's become out in public due to Margaret. Well, unless that shit is under seal, it's public fucking record and anyone can look it up. So I don't really know what she is thinking, but it seems like she's easily impressioned. Is that the right word?
She's impressionable. That's right. It seems like she's impressionable, especially by the man in her life. So she just blindly believes. I mean, fucking girl, go look back at whenever the mortgage fraud thing. You believed Joe then. Stop putting your belief in all of these men. They are leading you the fuck astray. Oh, I hope the best for her. I mean, I really do. Oh, I just feel like if she didn't have this person in her life, or she had a better supportive person in her life, then she would actually get along with her family. And isn't that what we really want to see? That's what I really want to see. I want to see Teresa and Joe fucking hug it out. I want them to be friends. I want them to be brother and sister. I want them to be close. I want Melissa and Teresa to be close. I feel like it's possible. Well, maybe it's not possible. I don't know. My therapist says that if everyone's alive, it's possible. So at this sit down that from with Teresa's lawyer that didn't reveal any information, Margaret was such a fucking boss and sent a funeral flower arrangement to Teresa's house and said to Teresa and James Leonard, Teresa's attorney, I'm so sorry for the loss of your dignity. I mean, I'm sticking that one in my back pocket and using it in the future. I'm sorry for the loss of your dignity. I'm sorry. That's a great fucking move. That's a chess play right there. That is out thinking outside of the box. Okay, so the ladies are all having a sit down at Rails, which is a restaurant literally on the train rail. And basically, they all come dressed as Victoria Gotti. They all come in like they are mob wives. And I don't hate it. Dolores' outfit might have been my favorite. But quite frankly, I really liked Jen Aiden's dress too. I think it was Versace. I really liked the dress and I really like how she paired it with a thin belt. I thought it was really cute and I kind of want that dress. And I like how she styled her hair. Don't get me wrong, I don't fucking like Jen Aiden. I think she's, you know what? She needs help. She needs therapy. She needs Jesus. She needs something. Okay, wait, let me just say this. Probably the darkest thing to come out of this tragic episode was when they were showing a scene between Teresa and Louis, you know, kind of talking about this meeting that they're all going to have at this restaurant. And Louis says, I hope Margaret suffers. I hope her son suffers. That's fucked up. That is so fucked up. I, you know, if you don't care for someone, that's fine. If you don't like someone, that's fine. But saying that you hope someone suffers and you saying that you hope someone's child suffers, that's next level, like, gross. That's not even, like, the fact that he could say that, that's problematic. And I think Teresa, I mean, and, you know, that they didn't have a reunion. They just watched the show back. And Teresa did not even call it out. In fact, she defended him and, like, against Dolores. And Dolores was calling it out saying, that's fucked up. It's fucked up for you to say that you want someone to suffer. And it is. And he even did a little apology tour, but no one fucking cares, Louis. Apart from Dolores and Jen Aiden, people look okay. I mean, Margaret looks kind of basic. So does Jen Fessler. Jackie, she could just not be there, honestly. I can't stand Jackie, quite frankly. I can't stand her. It's like the same way with Lala in Vanderpump Rules, who did a complete flip-flop and went against everything that she has said she stood for all of these years in order to try and be relevant. And I'm sorry, but the viewers can sniff that out. And Jackie is no exception. Jackie, I guess, I don't think she was on it last year. She was a friend, and I guess she's a friend this year, but she all of a sudden is flip-flopping and saying that she wants to be friends with Teresa. And Jen Fessler said the same thing. Oh, we're going to be friends with Teresa. They want to be friends with Teresa because Teresa has a huge audience and a huge following. And the press loves to talk about Teresa. So any association with Teresa is going to have, you know, a positive impact for Jackie and Jen. And Jackie is trying to sell her book, which did not make the New York Times bestseller list. And she said in the episode, she's like, it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. Yeah, it is. And Teresa Giudice fucking did it. So what does that say about you, Jackie? Also, you know how they say, like, just because someone's a lawyer doesn't mean they're a good lawyer? Jackie ain't a good lawyer because she put shit in writing. And when she was texting with Margaret and she called Dolores a slob, she put that shit in writing. What a fucking idiot. People out there, don't put shit in writing. Email and text as if you would like it read in a deposition one day. Don't trust anyone. Use voice notes. Okay, wait. Voice notes are new to me, and people seem to be using them a lot now. Should I use voice notes? If you use them on Instagram, you only get a minute long, and it cuts you off, and I'm quite verbose. I could just keep talking and talking and talking and talking. So, I don't know. Yeah, use voice notes, Jackie, from now on. Whenever Dolores told Jackie, she's like, yeah, I guess Margaret is smarter than you because she doesn't put shit in writing. I'm like, Jackie, you're a fucking idiot. Oh my God, don't ever call yourself a lawyer again. I don't even know if she practiced. So, you know, people can call themselves lawyers, but there's different variations of lawyering. Trust me. Okay, so this entire season, Teresa has been accusing Margaret of getting involved with the Louis case, with his ex, and talking to the ex and whatnot. And also, Jackie has been trying to get close to Teresa, hanging out with her, like, you know, befriending her. When she said to Gia, she was like, oh my God, the press asked me about my, you're in my mom's. Oh my God, the press asks about me and your mom all the time. Jackie, you could not be more transparent. I mean, I can see right the fuck through you, bitch. Jen Fessler, too, honestly. Jen Fessler, she's like, oh, I'm going to betray all these longstanding friendships that I have with Margaret and what's her name? Rachel Fuda and John Fuda. I got to say their names like Fuda. I want some Fuda. I'm hungry. Give me some Fuda. Wait, that could be a great marketing thing for them. They need a brand deal with some food. Damn, I have so many ideas. Anyways, Jen just abandoned all of these relationships that she had and just to be friends with Teresa. And I think it's because Jen is thirsty. Jen and what's her fucking name? Jackie. Jen and Jackie, they are thirsty. And did they just break up? They were doing a podcast together and something happened where they are not doing it anymore. Jersey is fractured, obviously. It is severely fractured and we need a little overhaul to get back to a good place. And I don't know what the fuck that means, but I don't think Bravo even knows what that means at this point. Okay, so the ladies go to Rails and they're like supposed to be trying to figure out if they can, you know, come to terms and solve a problem or just get into a good place or an, you know, somewhere where they can just coexist. And if you didn't see the episode, you really probably could guess that that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. So at first, Danielle and Jennifer Aiden start talking, trying to resolve their issues, but it doesn't work out. And they're going back and forth, and Jen sends Danielle over the edge when she talks about Danielle's husband. And she's like, oh yeah, your husband with the man boobs. And Danielle fucking goes off, throws water, throws a glass, interrupts the entire fucking sit down. I will say, you know, I really appreciated her husband, Nate, posting a shirtless picture afterwards. He doesn't have man boobs. I don't know where that fucking came from. So, I don't know. God, it's just so rude. I mean, wait, does Jennifer Aiden's husband have like the bod of a god? Because I don't think he does. I don't think Bill does. Let's have Bill take off his shirt. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Bill. I like Bill a lot. I think Jen needs Bill more than Bill needs Jen. So the two are going at it. Melissa and Teresa try to ride that high. And they're like, finally, someone's fighting. And so then they start fighting. Not physically fighting, but arguing. And then they start having this really weird pose off. And they're like, I'm going to tell you, when I see my girl Elisa in Chicago, we're going to have a pose off, okay? And it's going to be even better than Melissa and Teresa because we will be serving. I'm going to come to Chicago, Elisa, okay? I got to come see y'all. I've never been to Chicago and I want to come. So we think that the fight between Danielle and Jennifer Aiden is going to be the peak of the Rails dinner. But oh, were we wrong. Enter Thug Life Margaret Josephs. What would it be like? Margaret Thug Life Josephs. That's better. Enter Margaret Thug Life Josephs. So at this sit down, Jackie is sitting directly next to Teresa. And they're going at Margaret about whatever the involvement with the lawsuit. And so Margaret was like, okay, I need the floor. I need to talk about this. Margaret starts telling Teresa that she'd never spoken to Louis's ex prior to whatever date. And then she drops the bomb of all bombs and said that Jackie actually had Louis's ex over at her house. So not only did Jackie do that, but she also lied directly to Jen Aiden and Teresa when she was asked point blank about the ex. Jackie's a liar, and she's proven that time and time again. She even tries to deny it right there at the table. And Melissa's like, you probably need to admit this because there's likely proof of it. And so Jackie mulls it over in her little non-lawyer brain and is like, yeah, I did. I did talk. I did have the ex over. She's discredited herself everywhere, all over the place. Discredited Jackie, discredited Goldschlinger. Was that her name? Goldschneider. Goldschneider? Whatever. She's Jewish. And then Margaret comes in with another great fucking line and screams at Teresa, "You subpoenaed the wrong bitch." God, that was iconic. I don't even like Margaret, but that was iconic. So, I don't know if y'all noticed, but the podcast recording just cut the fuck out. And I got a little notification on my computer that I have run out of storage. So, had to delete a few things. I'm coming back to you now to wrap up this episode. Basically, Mercury's in retrograde. Saturn is in retrograde. There's like multiple planets in retrograde fucking up my technology. And what I really need is some new podcast mics and, you know, maybe a mixer, maybe some video camera so I can get back up online. Okay, I'm going to take my cue from the universe and the planets, you know, spinning backwards. And I'm going to quit while I'm kind of ahead. I mean, this episode has been filled with anxiety attacks, tears, laughs. I mean, what more could you want out of a podcast episode, honestly? And just to give you a live update, I'm still in the closet recording, and Lydia is putting her paws underneath the door to try and come in. So who knows how long I have until she starts trying to open the door, which she will jump up and do. She's a very skilled cat. Okay, that's a wrap for this episode, y'all. Be sure to follow my social media at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at The Rich Room Podcast. I will see you on the next episode of The Rich Room. Bye, bitches.